This is your teacher, Dingy May, speaking to you with his heart. Let us feel the spirit of wisdom embracing us together, as I shall now deal with your documentary lesson number 26. Peace be unto you. Search for the path, but be of clean heart before thou startest on thy journey, before thou takest thy first step. Learn to discern the real from the false, the ever-fleeting from the everlasting. Learn above all to separate head learning from soul wisdom, the eye from the heart doctrine. My beloved, your 26th lesson has as its title, The Triumphant First Step. I was interested in listening to a friend of mine some little while ago, talking about a small island in Lake Windermere in the north of England, where there is a crude stone tower, in the four sides of which there are four windows. Each window has a different colored glass. One is green, one yellow, one red, and one blue. These four windows correspond to the seasons of the year. Look through the green pane of glass, and you see that the country is bathed in the freshness of green in the spring. Look through the yellow, and you are in the summertime. Look through the red, and you notice the countryside change to the rich tints of the fall of the year. Look through the blue glass, and there comes over the scene an aspect of depth of winter. Thus, at any time of the year, you may, looking through these glasses, have the sensation of the four seasons of the year. Get some colored glass and try it, and you will see that you can create four illusions. But you will know that they are illusions, and that you are deceived by them. As I talked with my friend, I thought, what a magnificent illustration that is for us who are trying to understand, through learning, the art of living. We are deceived by the illusions all about us and within us. But we are already on the path to freedom. We look at the world through the colored glass of the mind, and we are in the tower all the time. Now, my beloved, sufficient should have been learned so far by you in this initiate group course in the science of mental physics to have thoroughly convinced you. In his sixth lecture, Freud says, and I quote, "For I assure you that it is very possible, in fact probable, that the dreamer does know what his dream means, but he does not know that he knows, and therefore believes that he does not know." Closed quote. What applies to a dream, where a dreamer does not know that he is the cause of the dream, is true of all that goes to make up our sensory life. Again, we wonder why it is that while the cells of the body know how to do the work of building the body, man, as a complete organism, does not. Which would lead one to suppose that the cells are wiser than the men. My answer is, you do know, but do not know that you know. Which is another way of saying that the spiritual mind, the creative spirit, knows, but that the conscious mind very often does not know. Now, in your last lesson, in the 25th lesson, we were talking about, generally, the matter of living as long as we desire to live. I remember some years ago reading an article in which a prominent scientist gave an illustration of the life of a fruit fly. He showed that by mere control of temperature, the life of the fruit fly has been lengthened to 900 times its usual life span. Now think of this. If this were done for man, he could live nearly 2,000 years. And if it can be done for one life organism, well, my beloved, why not another? The human being looks at the world through the colored glasses of the conscious mind. We are in the tower, and so we see the world as it appears, not as it is. We are generally what the race mind has made us. Now, the race mind has handed down the idea of old age and failure and disease and death to us. We give our consent. Unthinkingly, we acquiesce. But when we come to know that we have been fooled, we can dig all this out from our consciousness and write it in the infant book that we mentioned, you remember. We can dig and dig, as we are doing in our meditations. For every time that we say and feel, I am health and youth and life, we are shoveling at the roots of the race idea. And this is truth, what I am now saying to you, and what you will read in your lesson this coming week. We need not fear, for the truth will make us free. We all want eternal youth, do we not? And once more let me say that when you are no longer conscious of the limitations of age, you have eternal youth. The same remark applies to everything that we demand. For when we build a new consciousness, we can only reflect what is in that consciousness. You remember the illustration of the photographic plates? My beloved, it is so profoundly logical that we have only to think long enough about it to realize it as truth. Then we have mastered the secret, have discovered the law. Then we must obey and live with and in the law. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. We have been led to believe that the lungs, the kidneys, liver, heart, spleen, and other parts of our bodies wear out. What a lie! What an anachronism! They will atrophy, it is true, but not unless we allow them to do so. If we do not use them, then they will cease properly to function, and later on they will stop. But our work is to use them. And the more we use that which we are, the stronger we naturally become on all planes of life. This is true, uncontradictable, entirely categorical. It is true. And no matter from what angle we proceed to analyze the great truths taught in mental physics, whether as a scientist, a philosopher, a metaphysician, or a theologian, we come back to the same one truth, that if we are whatever the Creator is, we are the absolute one substance. All that there is eternal. Now, my beloved, as we go along in this lesson, let us then review some of the truths that we have learned. Now, as we go along, let us think. Let our hearts rejoice because we know more about ourselves and the universe than we did 3 months back even. Imagine the glorious future ahead, and then give thanks. Certain inalienable facts stand forth in what we have learned. First, that you are the creative spirit embodied. You are the final, absolute, continuing, everlasting, never-ending, eternal thing that is. Two, that you are the all that there is embodied in your own human form. Now, my beloved, nothing can exist outside the all that there is. Therefore, you are of that which is omnipresent, present everywhere at one and the same time. You are of that which is omnipotent, all-powerful, possessing unlimited power, possessing all the power there is, not partial power. You are of that which is omniscient, all-wise, all-knowing, possessing all knowledge, knowing everything, having definite universal knowledge. Then three, you are of that which is infinite, unlimited or boundless in time and space, without limit in power, capacity, intensity, or excellence, perfect, boundless, immeasurable, illimitable, interminable, limitless, unlimited, unbounded. Then four, you are of that which is eternal, without beginning or end of existence, always existing, underived and indestructible, everlasting, endless, infinite, ceaseless, perpetual. You are of the great causeless cause. And then five, you are of that which is indivisible, being the creative spirit embodied, you are of the whole. Every so-called part of the indivisible, the absolute, is in touch with every other part and the whole. All is one, undivided, incapable of partition or separation.